Welcome to the Internet Report. This is a weekly show where we break down all of the interesting incidents that occurred in the previous week. My name is Angelique Medina, and I'm joined by Archana Kesavan, my co-host. So we're going to start first with just giving you a quick rundown of what happened last week and also go through some statistics, which we do every week. Some things that made the news last week were there was a Cloudflare issue with their dashboard. There was some issues with users unable to access their banking information to check on the stimulus check. And then we also had some pretty significant outages. So we'll run through all of that. But first, we're going to take a look at some of the numbers that we saw last week. So if you'll recall, last week we noted that outages were down overall and speculated that that was potentially due to some normalizing or stabilizing within the service provider networks or the ISP networks. So this week, what we can see is that outages were up from the previous week. So they went up last week. And
just to reiterate this particular graph is looking at network outages across ISPs, cloud providers, collaboration apps, and then edge infrastructure as well.
That's right. Yeah. So something to note and that we mention each week is just, you know, what we're actually covering here. So it's more than ISPs. It's a number of different provider types. And if we look at this from a daily standpoint, we can see that there was some dip in outages, you know, that corresponded with that lower number we saw a couple of weeks back. Mm-hmm. And then starting on Monday, April 13th, you see this kind of, it jumps right back up to 49 outages. And that was something very interesting. We'll take a look at Monday specifically, even though it wasn't the peak period during the week in terms of the number of outages. We saw more like on the 15th and 16th, for example. Monday was actually much more interesting because it was very widespread and the outage incidents that were happening were very long lasting, as opposed to the Tuesday, Wednesday, in which they were fairly brief outage events that didn't seem to have as significant an impact.
And also right there in the weekly trend, the midweek where you see those numbers spike up just a little bit, then the averages on Monday, 52 and 53, they were independent of the, the banking issue that Angelique was talking about in the beginning, where people couldn't, access their financial institutions to check about the stimulus check. This is because the outages that are being reported here is specifically from a network perspective. And, you know, as you're going to see later in the show, that's kind of independent of what was happening with the stimulus check issue.
That's right. And that for those of you who aren't in the US, that's something that was expected to be delivered on the 15th, which is historically it's our US tax day, even though that's been pushed back a little bit this year. But April 15th was really kind of that hotspot day. Now we can see that, you know, overall, no surprise that the ISPs make up the bulk of outages. There's just so many providers in that category as opposed to cloud service providers or UCaaS providers. So, you know, it was up for sure over the week of April 6th. Now, does this mean that we're kind of back to where we were at the end of March? It's not clear. It's, I think what the internet has shown us is that it's unpredictable. So maybe this is an indication there's still some adjustments or changes being made, or it could just be that, you know, we've seen some anomalous activity that's impacting the number overall. In terms of the cloud service providers, they look pretty steady and nothing really interesting to report there. They overall don't experience a lot of outages in their networks, and that was the same for last week as well. And the collaboration app providers, they came down from their peak at the end of March and hasn't really gone up since then. So that's good. And now this is something I think in terms of the outage events from a network standpoint, there was something that really was really interesting that occurred on Monday that we're gonna look at a little bit more closely. So we see here,
this is the 49 spike that we are gonna talk about that we noticed specifically on Monday.
That's right. So on Monday the 13th, we saw that there was a number of ISPs that had an issue. So we can see here, we have level 3 communications, we have NTT, we have Cogent and Shaw and AT&T and Zayo and GTT, and actually more providers than this that were simultaneously experiencing outage events in their network. Now, if we look here, we can see that Telia is really the one that seems to have been most impacted by this event. And if we look at some of the other markers of this outage, we can see that the duration of the outage is pretty significant, lasting over 30 minutes. It impacted quite a number of locations throughout the United States, including Chicago and Dallas. And we also do see, though, that other providers had similarly long outages. So if you look at Cogent, 38 minutes, 24 minutes for level 3. So this is not just notable from the standpoint of scope or the fact that this was occurring simultaneously, just the sheer time that it took to resolve this issue was pretty significant. So
one of the other things, you know, at the same time that we saw is one of these providers actually, you know, withdrew their routes to the most heavily impacted ISP in here. And that withdrawal of routes, you know, lasted for about, I believe, like 9 hours.
Around 9 hours. Yeah. So around this time, you know, there didn't seem to be any, in terms of what the root cause was. It's interesting because this was such a strange outage event that happened at the same time. We were kind of looking at BGP routing to see if there was potentially some anything noteworthy there. And the only thing that we could see was this, one of the application providers withdrew their route from Telia. Mm-hmm. And then, as you mentioned, didn't restore it until about 9 hours later. So it could be that you know, they were potentially had made a change in their network, or maybe one of their one of the other ISPs made a change in their network that then impacted their peers, and so they had sort of there was a collateral impact as a result of that.
But basically, they were just trying to avoid Telia in that particular case, right?
Because that's right. Now, why that is, whether that was coincidental or not, we just don't know. But certainly, the fact that they were the most impacted by this this outage on Monday is, you know, is something, you know, to keep in mind.
Right. So, and just looking at, when we say most impacted, that includes, you know, not just the number of interfaces that were affected, but also their expanse and regionally, how widespread that particular outage was within Telia's network.
That's right. Yeah. So if you were to have, say, an infrastructure issue, like maybe if you had a router that, you know, just, you know, up and died or something, that might affect one location. But the fact that this is simultaneously impacting five cities, you know, East Coast, you know, Texas, is
Chicago.
Yep, is interesting, and indicates again that this was likely due to some change that was made by the operator within their environment, whether that was intentional or unintentional change, that then potentially also caused some of the issues in the neighboring ISPs that they're connected to, so their peers.
Possibly cascaded down to the ISPs that they were connected with.
That's right, yeah. So this was sort of the most notable event last week from a network standpoint. Now, the other thing that happened was this incident with the banks and them not able to have their users log in and access their stimulus check information, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. So essentially what you're seeing here is across the US, you know, users were unable to get into or access their particular, you know, financial institution in this particular case. So all you those red nodes is basically an indication of there is an issue. The interesting thing, however, is, you know, when you see these issues that come up in terms of accessing an application, they can pretty much be anywhere in the stack, right? Like, and that's kind of, you see that on the left-hand side here in terms of where the issue is split down by faces. And what you see here is, you know, there is essentially a problem in receiving or logging into, this is the login page of a particular financial institution that we're looking at. There was an issue actually logging into the page. However, the interesting thing is there was not a problem in the actual network path to right. get to the edge location of these financial
right.
institutions.
I mean,
right?
If you look at like just even the status here by phase, you can see mm-hmm. there wasn't a DNS issue.
Yep.
There wasn't a connect issue. So that, you know, typically when you see that there's no connect issue, that means that there isn't a corresponding network issue, which as you mentioned, we'll see that in a moment, you know, so connecting to the web server was not the problem, but getting a response was, and we can kind of see that here, that looks like the network path is clean.
Right, and it's not surprising that these, you know, URLs or these websites are front-ended by CDN, right? That's precisely why CDN exists. You should have them. And there was no problem in actually getting to that edge, like you see here in the actual network path.
Yeah, so then the question is, was this an issue with the CDN provider maybe not being able for whatever reason to serve up the content, and was this specific to a particular provider? And what we saw was that wasn't the case, right? Like this was fairly widespread, impacted a number of different banks who were using many different CDN providers. And in some cases, we had the same bank who was using several CDN providers, and all of them were experiencing the same issue simultaneously. So this didn't appear to be impacted or didn't appear to be caused by the CDN providers.
Mm-hmm. I mean, at this particular point, kind of overlapped with, you know, Cloudflare having an issue which really impacted their API or their dashboard, not their CDN services.
Right.
So this is not to be confused with, you know, Cloudflare's issue last week. They were completely independent here from what we saw.
Yeah. This is really interesting because, you know, we discussed this earlier. So it's not the CDN provider that's the problem, but they're not able to even serve up, in most instances that we saw, a login page, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason for this, it appears that, you know, they couldn't even, that it's likely because they weren't able to revalidate or refetch the index files for the banking site. And because of that, they couldn't serve up any additional components or web objects from that point on, even if they were stored with the CDN provider, because they couldn't revalidate that.
Yeah, they didn't really know the intelligence that comes from that index file. It was unavailable. So, and the index files fetched from the origin. So, you know, they didn't really have any idea on how to even load up the main page.
Right. Now, you could certainly store your index file with the CDN provider, which could potentially have, prevented this issue with just the login page loading. Mm-hmm. But it appears that this was an issue with the banking's own origin from being overloaded. So even if the login page had been able to be loaded by the CDN provider, it does seem like there was, you know, the origin itself was having issues. And so logging in may have been a problem either way. But
you would have, you know, in this particular case, you were stuck like in the first page. If the index fire had been local, you would have probably gotten stuck, you know.
Yeah. You might have gotten further along. Steps in. You may still have run into issues.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So that was a pretty significant issue that occurred on the 15th, and it was something that that occurred throughout the day at different periods. So there were some instances in which the site was available and loaded, and then, you know, maybe 30 minutes later it wouldn't be. And this was something we saw across not just mid-sized banks. We saw this even very large banks had this same issue, yep. Which was a little surprising to us because large banks typically have pretty, you know, they have a lot of
robust and like redundant.
Think that they would have the scale to manage the inbounds on this, but.
But I mean, we were talking about this, yeah. You know, just before this call, in terms of how much was the load, right?
Right. I mean, if you consider that the population of the United States, and it was reported that 93%, more than 93% of the U.S. population qualified mm-hmm. to get at least some part of the stimulus.
On April 15th.
That's right. Yes. So if you just look at the sheer number, you know, the volume of you know, what we're looking at here in terms of the population, maybe it isn't all that surprising. But it is surprising that it wouldn't necessarily have been anticipated by the banks, right? I mean, if they were expecting that this was going to happen, you know, why they weren't prepared, we just don't know. But this has all happened pretty quickly. And mm-hmm. So maybe it's not surprising that, you know, that it just, there was just no way to accommodate this.
But it wasn't like, you know, you different sets of people were logging in at different points in time to kind of spread that load. You know, people were probably just
waking up in the morning and
checking, you know, right. And then it kind of unfortunately impacted a lot of the financial institutions that day.
Yeah. So then, so beyond that, you know, it's well, actually, one of the things that we were also talking about with reference to the CDM providers, and one of the reasons to, you know, why the CDM providers themselves are so valuable in distributing traffic locally, this came up because we were talking again about Netflix and why this keeps coming up in terms of, you know, them being responsible for maybe slowing down network performance because, you know, people are just streaming more. I guess that's the idea. But we were talking about this earlier and also again last week. So the way that Netflix distributes their content
is, yeah.
It's right. They basically run their own CDN infrastructure, and they are in many instances co-located within ISPs. And so when you're streaming, yeah.
They actually have this program called the Open Connect, mm-hmm. Where it's actually a physical device, which and ISPs need to partner with Netflix to actually do that, right? And it's actually a physical device that basically caches, I don't think cache is the right word, but maybe.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it caches
all the content that is regional, right? Depending on analytics on, you know, what kind of shows that particular region's interested in, you know, it caches all of it. So every time, so when we plus play on Netflix, it doesn't necessarily go to the origin to fetch all of that data. That's pretty much really close to, you know, within a few miles of where we are located. Right. And sometimes it can happen that it would pick the most available, you know, edge location and can switch midway once it kind of finds the, you know, the best fit. So sometimes when you've seen the case of, you know, you press play and you see a little bit of blur, but then it immediately snaps back and you see that clarity. That's when, you know, it's picked like a better location to feed the stream from, right?
So, I mean, if your neighbor, you know, even if it's something that may not be like incredibly popular, even if your neighbor were to like stream the video and it has to be, you know, fetched for the first time from Origin, then it's cached, you know, then it's that copy is available locally. And also, I mean, one thing that can be done as well by content providers is they can anticipate when content is going to be popular for a particular demographic or region, and they can pre-cache content even before it's requested. And so by doing that, they are preventing the request being made to their origin. So that keeps the load down across like the internet backbone, across transit providers, and right. then makes your experience that much better, because you're basically going to be connecting to a very close by caching server. So
the whole, you know, and then the reason this comes up a lot of times is because Netflix did take some steps in terms of, you know, reducing the bandwidth of, you know, across their video streams, right? They said they're not going to compromise on the resolution. So if you've subscribed for, you know, a 4K HD stream, you're going to get it. However, the bandwidth is going to get reduced by 25%, right? And even
something about like lowering the bit rate or something like that.
Yeah, it's lowering the bit rate. And my guess is the way they're actually doing that is kind of lowering the frames per second for that particular, you know, resolution. So you're not going to, and our eye doesn't necessarily like, you know, detect that 25% reduction in the frames per second. So you're probably not seeing the actual impact of it. And the only place to the whole conversation about, you know, the CDNs and the edge being able to stream this data is that even if it does help reduce the bandwidth, it's really for, you know, the last mile or very short distance. It's not necessarily the entire backbone of the internet, which will see the impact of this particular change.
Yeah, and from the standpoint of usage, I mean, a lot of the ISPs have even said that, you know, the peak periods of time in which Netflix usage is up, which is typically in the evenings, that hasn't really changed, you know, because yes, people are using the internet more, but from the standpoint of like streaming Netflix content or other video content, that's still within the same window of time. And the broadband providers have built out their networks to accommodate that volume of downstream network usage, right? So this is coming locally down to them. And so that really isn't something that's changed all that much with what happened. And so this, you know, I think part of where this came up was the European commissioner, some official agency or something in Europe was asking Netflix to make some changes in how they delivered content. And what's interesting about this is that this was not based on any measured or real
they didn't run into a problem. Right?
Like they were it was like the commissioner was basically like, we think you're going to be a problem, and so please do something. And of course Netflix is gonna be like, well, yes, we're gonna do what we can, even though it wasn't necessarily a legitimate concern. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, you know, why they took it upon themselves to ask this, you know, it's not clear. They probably didn't understand how it worked.
Right. It's also that, you know, we've not seen this policy or this change kind of implemented in the US, for instance, right?
Right.
It's been specific to EU. Maybe and I'm just speculating here, is that their last mile connection, for instance, might not be as, up to date or as good as, you know, what you find in the US. There could be some parts of EU where, you know,
possibly
that last mile connectivity is not upgraded.
Right. Right. The market in the European kind of telco market seems to be more fragmented. There's many more smaller providers that are just like doing business locally within a particular country. And because of that, there's a lot of variation in quality. So it may just be that they were trying to make this, you know, that they had brought this up just to preempt any issue that, you know, could happen.
It would be interesting, you know, a few more weeks to see if there's actually any data that shows this reduced or what it did, right? We haven't seen anything so far, and we don't think it should have definitely impacted as much. But if there is anything out there, that'll be interesting to take a look at.
And from the standpoint of the U.S., I think, you know, it's not something in most areas of the country that should be a cause for concern.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, that brings us to the that brings us to the end of the show. A lot of things that happened last week, right? The outage on Monday, April 13th, which was not just like it was extended from a time period perspective, but also the intensity of that was pretty deep or heavy compared to the other outages we've probably seen. April 15th was the stimulus check that we just went through. But yeah, stay tuned. And, you know, if you'd like to, you know, be aware of the outages that are happening, get a little bit more deeper dive into it, follow us on our blog, and feel free to leave us a review, rate our show in here. And if you email that particular email address there, you're actually going to get a free t-shirt as well. So don't forget to do that. We have some pretty fun t-shirts. The one that you see there right now is our newest edition, which we released last week. So definitely feel free to email Eileen there to get your t-shirt and rate us.
All right, that's our show.
We'll see you guys next week.